2 Samuel chapter 22. Last time we left off with this statement, we must know the character of God to be able to know and do His will and to please Him. The better we know the Word of God, the better we will understand what He expects of us. We've looked at number one, David, a righteous man, verses 21 through 25. And secondly, the Lord, the faithful God, verses 26 through 28. This morning, let's look at number three, David, enabled by the Lord. Enabled by the Lord, verses 29 through 43. In this new stanza of David's song, he looked back and he remembered how the Lord had helped him in those 10 hard years of exile and, of course, other times as well. Underneath David, enabled by the Lord, letter A, the Lord enlightened David, verse 29. The Lord enlightened David. This part of the outline is Warren Wiersbe, A, B, C, and D. All right. Did we read these or not? Anybody remember? I think we should read them again. What do you think? All right, 29 through 33. 29 to 33. He'll take those. George, because of the... what's it called? False knot?
Yeah, well, the day's called Fat Tuesday, but yeah, false knots are the donuts.
Yeah, George has got to make like a gazillion donuts. For some reason, people think that God is pleased when, I guess, certain religions don't eat certain things, that, like give up something for Lent. That's where the old saying comes, give it up for Lent. And so what they do is they gorge themselves on donuts. Yes, sir. You watch your language. We're in church.
Fat day. Fat Tuesday.
Yeah, that's what she just says. Fat
Tuesday, Bill. Listen.
I didn't know that. Billy taught me, so I didn't know. I knew about Fat Tuesday. Every day is fat for me. It doesn't matter if it's Tuesday or what day it is. Pardon me?
If you say Mardi Gras, you can speak French.
Good point. If you can say taco, you can speak Spanish.
That's right.
So there you go. But anyway, I don't quite understand the philosophy behind it. You gorge yourself. That's another sin. So you commit a sin so you cannot eat donuts during Lent. But anyway, whatever, if it makes somebody happy, if they feel like they're getting closer to God because they give something up for Lent, more power to them. All right. All right, 29 to 33. He'll take those. All right, huh? Miss Rhonda?
Okay.
Becca, you take 34 through 38. 34 to 38. Who'll take 39 through 43? Mr. Scott, I see you way back here in the back. And then 44 through, let's see, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. How about... 44 through 47, Ms. Kathy, and then 48 to 51. 48 to 51, Ms. Betty. All right. Go ahead, Ms. Rhonda.
Hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, so that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and destroyed them, and turned not again until I had consumed them.
And I have consumed them and wounded them, that they could
for thou hast girded me with strength to battle. Them that rose up against me hast thou subdued under me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They looked, but there was none to save, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them as small as the dust of the earth. I did stamp them as the mire of the street, and did spread them abroad.
Thou also hast delivered me from the surroundings of my people. Thou hast kept me to be head of the nations. A people whom I knew not shall serve me. Foreigners shall submit themselves unto me. As soon as they hear, they shall be obedient unto me. Foreigners shall fade away, and they shall be afraid, coming out of their forts. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God, the rock of my salvation.
It is God that strengtheneth me, and that bringeth down the people under me, and that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou hast also hast lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. He is the tower of salvation for his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, unto David and to his seed forevermore.
All right, thank all of you. All right, David enabled by the Lord. The Lord enlightened David. The Lord provided for David. He kept David alive. David understood that. If you recall back in chapter 21, verse number 17, David's men feared that he might be killed and the light of Israel would be extinguished. But yet David understood, no, I'm not the light of Israel. My God is my light. A burning lamp can also refer to the reign of a king. And of course they feared that he would be extinguished. David said, no. I know my God. He's going to take care of me. He made promises. And so I can rest and be assured in my God. And sure enough, when David died, the light of his dynasty continued on and will continue on all the way through Messiah, which means all the way through all of eternity, because we are, of course, waiting for the rapture of the church. And once we are raptured, the seven-year tribulation is upon the world. And then many will die. Many in Israel will die. But when the Lord comes back and we that are born again will come back with him, all Israel, all that are alive at that point will be saved. And Christ will set up his kingdom. Aren't you looking forward to that? You know, there's a special crown for those of us that love his appearing. That really look forward to it and anticipate it and live as though we know, which we do know, he can come back anytime. We sometimes think, yeah, he's going to come back someday. Well, that someday could be today. I kind of like the idea of us all going together. Wouldn't that be great? David trusted in the Lord during the darkest days, and he had a lot of them, some self-inflicted and some not. Take your Bible and turn over to Psalm 27. I was going to just read a verse here, but I'm going to go through this psalm because it fired me up. I remember years ago, I actually wrote it in my Bible. Sometimes I don't do it much anymore, but I did back in the day. I preached, I think it was a two-part message. I have to dig it out of the archives. I've got all the messages I ever preached, except for the ones I might have lost somewhere along the way. But this one I preached, at least last time I preached it, was July the 11th, 2004. 21 years ago, I preached a message out of Psalm 27. But I wanted to share some things because this is a great psalm. I hope it fires you up and encourages like it did me. So I wrote a bunch of notes down, did some study on this psalm. But I intended just to read the first verse. It went along with the idea of the Lord, the light. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Or whom shall I dread? The light of redemption versus the darkness of condemnation. the light of redemption versus the darkness of condemnation. When the wicked, some translations have their evildoers, even mine enemies who were like vicious beasts, and my foes came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. The words came upon me to eat up my flesh can also refer to slander and defamation. But David said, I know my God, he is my light, he is my salvation. I have no reason to fear even the worst of my enemies, even the most vicious beast. I don't have to live in fear because they will be thoroughly defeated. Though an host, a whole army should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war would rise against me, in this will I be confident. I will trust my God even in this circumstance. So when I read the first three verses, think about what David had to go through, and I think about what I go through, I shouldn't be that intimidated. What about you? And I love verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord. I don't know how many of us think like this. That will I seek after. After that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty or the delight of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. So David sought the Lord's presence. He sought God's purposes. If you look back at the 26th Psalm and verse number 8, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine glory or honor dwelleth. And of course, he's speaking there of true worship. I have loved the habitation of thy house. Verse number 5, and for in the time of trouble or calamity, God shall guide me in his pavilion or his shelter, in the secret of his tabernacle or the secret place of his tent shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock, a place of safety and security. So David is praising God for being a part of the result of his divine protection. You could call it the privilege of divine protection. And we have the same thing. Remember, everything David's writing about, we have as well. We also have the privilege of being protected by our God. You know, things are pretty rough out in the world, aren't they? Our nation is in trouble. The world's in trouble. We are surrounded by for instance, AI, I heard a lot of things this week about AI, how quickly it has progressed. It is beyond belief. It was only a few years ago. It didn't do a whole lot of anything. Now, it is getting extremely detailed in what it can do, beyond what we could ever imagine. You know, it's not coming. It's here. It is here. And it can be great. It can be helpful. It can be wonderful. But it can also be, there can be a lot of trouble involved in it too. So I encourage you to research it out a little bit, see what's happening. It's a lot more than ChatGPT, okay? That's nothing compared to what has already been built. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle, in his tent, sacrifices of joy. He's not talking about animal sacrifices. David was not a priest. He was talking about loud shouts of joy. Loud shouts of joy, praising God. He said, I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. And when we sing songs and when we sing hymns, it's not a filler to take up space and time. It is a cry of our hearts unto God of praise and thanksgiving and worship. Even though we may not be able to carry a tune in a bucket, when we sing, God hears it as though it's the finest singer on the planet. It's worship. It's worship. Singing praises to our God. And that's the real purpose of music. It's not to appeal to the flesh. It's to express worship to our God. Verse 7, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, or call out with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. Be gracious unto me." Notice in verse 8, "when thou saidest" is in italics, meaning it was added by the translators. I have a little note here in the Cambridge Bible. Next to verse 8 says, "My heart said unto thee, let my face seek thy face." Another translation has, "on your behalf my heart says, thy face, Lord, will I seek." And what he's desiring, David is desiring the personal presence of God. And that should be our desire, that personal, intimate relationship with God that goes deeper than just a casual reading of Scripture, attending a church service or two, but it has to do with God being involved in every aspect of our lives, where we understand the importance of God being in total control, and we love Him for it. "Hide not thy face far from me." Remember, when it seems that God is not near, it's not His fault. It's our fault. Because God is always available and He's always near. If we seek Him, he can be found. And He desires to be found. He desires fellowship. David desired fellowship with God. God desired fellowship with him as well. "Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me," I think probably be better translated that word "when," "if." Because David had a good relationship with his parents. We just read not long ago where he took care of his parents, even risked his own life to make sure his parents were cared for. So the point is, those that were closest to David or those that are closest to us might abandon us. We don't know. We don't know. It can be a family member that decides they're going to turn on us. But David said, "Even if my parents forsook me, the Lord's right there. He will take me up. He will never abandon me." God will never abandon us, will He? In 50 years, God hasn't abandoned me. Almost 50 years. "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path," a level path. Again, here in the Cambridge, next to that verse, says the Hebrew, talks about, for the word plain, or a plain, a way of plainness, and then also those who observe me. A way of plainness, those who observe me. "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a way of plainness, which those who observe me." Of course, they're going to try to trip you up. "Deliver me not over unto the will or desire of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty or violence." I had feigned, and again, it's in italics. It could be I had despaired, or I would have been filled with despair, but I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You don't have to look very far to see God's goodness, do you? Man, we serve a good God. Do you love Him this morning? When's the last time you looked up to heaven and said, "God, you are so good. You are so good." "Wait in the Lord," often in several translations I notice, is translated "hope in the Lord." Both are accurate. Wait or hope in the Lord. "Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. If you're losing courage, you feel like quitting or giving up, wait on the Lord. Hope in Him. It conveys the idea of eager or patient anticipation of the Lord. I just had to share that with you this morning. I didn't get into, you know, great detail, but I just I hope that it lifted you up a little bit. Go back to 2 Samuel chapter 22. So A, the Lord enlightened David. B, the Lord empowered David. Verses 30 through 35. The scene here is one of a brave warrior letting nothing hinder victory. Nothing at all. The Lord equipped David to be able to face his enemies without fear. And David understood it was all God. He didn't take any of the glory. He didn't take any of the credit. He was not filled with self and pride. It didn't matter who it was. Look at verse 30. He said, "For by thee I have run through a troop." Lord, it's you. "I can even run through an army and not be killed, because I have you. By my God, I have leaped over a wall." David became like Superman, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Because God was with him. Verse 31 reminds us that God's way is perfect, and so he made David's way perfect. And the reason David's way was made perfect, not sinless, but blameless, was because he trusted in God. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of God is tried. Some translations have, the actual Hebrew is refined. Refined. And I wrote down Psalm 12:6 because it helps to define the meaning there. Psalm, I'm just going to read it. I'm not going to take you through the whole psalm this time, okay? Psalm 12, verse number 6. "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." Every time silver's melted down, the dross floats to the top, you skim it off, gets a little purer, doesn't it? Melted down again, a little bit more dross floats to the top, you skim it off, and it's a little more pure. Seven times. I'd say that'd be almost as pure as you can get silver. The word of God is perfect, blameless. It's been tried. It's been refined. A buckler to all them that trust in him. A shield. The power of the word of God. A lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. For who is God save the Lord but the Lord? And who is a rock but or save our God? David trusted wholly in the word of God, so the Lord shielded David in battle. He protected him as the rock of David, the rock of his salvation. God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. God was David's strong fortress. And so he should be for us. We can lean upon him. We don't have to lean upon our own understanding. In all of our ways, if we acknowledge him, he will direct our path. So the Lord enlightened David. The Lord empowered David. See, the Lord enlarged David. 36 through 43. He enlarged David. "Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation." And since God had given David, the shield of thy salvation, David was invincible as long as he was in the center of God's will. No one could harm David. And it's the same for us. Now, obviously, if we jumped in front of a bus and were flattened, that wasn't God that did that. We did that. But if we are in the center of the will of God and we desire to please and honor our God, we are invincible until God says, "Okay, it's time." That's why Charlie Kirk did not live in fear. He knew his life was in danger. He constantly got death threats. He knew he was laying his life on the line when he went out in those crowds. But he didn't fear it because he knew that as long as God wanted him alive, he would be alive. So we don't have to live in fear, do we? God is in control. We don't want to be reckless and careless. We should do everything we can to protect ourselves. God expects us to use a little common sense, but we cannot live trembling and in constant fear over what could happen. Also in verse number 36, when David said, "In thy gentleness hath made me great," as David thought about God being his shield and his salvation, and thought about how good and how gentle God was, and how God in his sovereignty and in his mercy made David great, David wasn't puffed up. He was saying, "I know I am who I am because of my God." He also was amazed that God would stoop down from the glories of heaven and even help him. Have you ever stood amazed in the presence of God that God would even do anything for you? I've never, ever, not one time felt worthy of salvation. Have you? "Thou hast enlarged my steps under me." We already read earlier how God had enlarged his land, his area, his place of influence, how God had raised him up at exactly the right time, so that my feet, literally in the Hebrew ankles, did not slip or give out, give way under me. Verse 38, "I have pursued mine enemies and destroyed them." The next few verses, some have said, "Oh, as in other places in the Old Testament, God is so cruel, look what he did." And David's talking about, pulverizing people and all that kind of stuff. Remember, these people had for generations turned their back on God, ignored the call of God, desired to follow false gods instead of the one true God. They got worse and worse and worse, and more children would be born, more and more would die and go to hell. And so God really was showing mercy here, and he used David as a part of his plan. "I have pursued mine enemies and destroyed them, and turned not again until I consumed them. And I have consumed them, and I've crushed them," literally crushed them, "that they could not arise, yea, they are fallen under my feet, for thou hast girded me, Lord, with strength for battle. Them that rose up against me hast thou subdued under me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemy, that I might destroy them that hate me." One translation says, "You have made my enemies turn their backs to me." In other words, they fled. "They looked, but there was none to save, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not." Why? Because he had given them up. They had turned their backs on him over and over and over again. Their hearts were hardened. "Then did I beat them as small or as fine as the dust of the earth." That's kind of overwhelming, isn't it? He absolutely annihilated them. "I did stamp them as the mire of the street, and did spread them abroad." So the Lord stooped down and made David great. He was a great warrior. He had a great name, and he desired to make Jehovah's name great, not just in Israel, but in surrounding nations as well. And God condescended to David. He bowed down in the sense of pouring out his mercy and grace upon David, and he worked directly in David's life, just like he desires to work directly in our lives. The Lord desires to make us fit for the work he has called us to fulfill. So the Lord enlightened David, he empowered David, he enlarged David. Number four, he established David. Verses 44 to 51, he established David. Number one under that, the Lord enthroned David. Verses 44 through 46, David, of course, had to unify and lead the 12 tribes, but he also had to watch over the conquered nations because Israel controlled some of the surrounding nations, so David had that to deal with as well, those that were enslaved. The Gentile nations were not pleased, of course, that David was on the throne in Israel. Warren Wiersbe said this about that. He said, and I quote, "He was a brilliant strategist, a brave warrior, and a beloved leader," end of quote. God established David on the throne and promised him a dynasty forever. And we're still waiting, of course, for our Savior. The Gentiles were frightened because of David's victory, so they tended to hide, but the places they hid could not hide them for long, so they eventually came out of their feeble hiding places and submitted to David. Verse 44, "Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of my people. Thou hast kept me to be head of the heathen," or the nations. "A people which I knew not shall serve me. Strangers shall submit themselves, or foreigners shall cower before me. As soon as they hear, they shall be obedient to me." Hebrew is sons of the strangers. "Strangers shall fade away, and they shall be afraid out of their close places, or come trembling out of their fortresses. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation." The Lord exalted David, 47 through 49. "Then the Lord elected David," 50 and 51. Let me read 48. It is God that avengeth me, and that bringeth down the people under me, that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou also hast lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered or rescued me from the violent man." Did I give you number three? The Lord elected David, 50 and 51. David magnified the name of the Lord, and the Lord lifted David up, and God received all the glory. Then David remembered to thank God as well as praise him. We can never thank God enough, and I think sometimes we forget to do that. "Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will," or among the nations, "I will sing praises unto my name." David was a thankful man. "He is the tower of salvation for his king. Showeth mercy, loving kindness to his anointed, unto David and to his seed forevermore." One translation has part of that verse, "He gives great salvation to his king." So David remembered that it was the merciful Jehovah who saved him and had anointed him. It wasn't something he deserved. It was something that God bestowed upon him in his grace and mercy. Questions, comments? Pardon me? I think so, absolutely. The final seed, capital S, would be the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, who is also the throne of David. That's why his throne is an everlasting throne, because of Messiah. I do know how, because of the blindness of the flesh and the devil. But when the Jews read the Old Testament and see all that Messiah has talked about, all the predictions of the Word of God, how they cannot believe. It's got to be the blindness of Satan. It's so obvious that Jesus is the Messiah. It's heartbreaking to think about the number of people that miss out. Thank you. All right, continue to pray for the church. A lot of folks out again this morning. Pray for our nation. Pray for Israel, Iran, Ukraine, Venezuela, and there are many other areas around the world that we need to pray about. We've got the Greenland situation. I don't know if we're going to what kind of deal is going to be worked out there, but it is essential for our security and for that golden dome that's going to be built. Pray for law enforcement and ICE. Pray for our missionaries. I hope you're keeping up with Hope House. There is an update back on the board across from the bathrooms. Again, I had hoped that ladies would have got involved in that ministry, but we support the Hope House here in town, $200 a month. So pray for Hope House, the ladies there. Pray for Mark and Rhonda. Mark had a pretty good week. Rhonda said he's lost a lot of weight, but he has picked up a couple of pounds. But he had a pretty good week. Talked to Darlene on Friday, and she had a great Friday again. That's two Fridays in a row. She had a really good day. She was doing some ironing when I called her. Continue to pray for Ronnie. Gary, how's your leg? Did it heal up?
Yes.
Excellent.
Good.
Glad to hear that. Pray for a friend of Leonard, Roy Puel. He has pancreatic cancer, possibly stomach as well. He has surgery on February the 23rd. So pray for Roy. Pray for the Ambrose family, death of Sterling. Pray for the Henry family, the death of Donna Ray. John McClintock, health issues. The Pansy family, death of John. And a friend of Gary and Kathy, Samantha, who has cancer. Pray for Samantha as well. Good morning. All right, let's stand together as we take these requests to our God. Father, thank you that you are on the throne this morning. Thank you for your love and your grace. And we thank you, Lord, for the time we had in your word already. And we pray, Lord, that you'd bless the coming hour as well. We pray, Lord, for our nation as we still have the radical left Marxists that are causing havoc and every step of the way try to throw a wrench in everything that the president and the leaders in Congress and the Senate are trying to get done. Lord, I pray that you'd still their mouths, and I pray, Lord, you'd defeat them. And I pray, Lord, we'd see things that would honor you be passed. And Lord, I pray that especially this SAVE Act, I pray it would pass. And the idea that folks, before they vote, have to show identification only makes sense. I pray, Father, that as most of the nation agrees with that, that this thing would get done to stop the cheating on elections. And I pray, Lord, that you'd watch over law enforcement, ICE, and border security. I pray, Lord, that you continue to protect them, protect our leaders, give them wisdom, Lord. I pray they'd seek your face above all else. I pray for the situation in Ukraine, Lord, that war would be settled. I pray that we would not have to go to war with Iran or drop bombs, but it's looking like that's about the only thing that's going to do anything to get rid of those wicked leaders that have been there for all these decades. I pray, Heavenly Father, for Israel, your hand of protection be upon them. I pray, Lord, for the salvation of the Jews there in Israel. I pray for Venezuela that would work out according to your will and plan. Pray that there would be a good government eventually that would take over there. And I pray in the meantime that you give our leaders wisdom as they work that situation out. I pray for our missionaries, Lord. I pray you'd bless those that are preaching the word of God. Provide for them. Give them souls for their labor. And I pray for Hope House here in town. You continue to provide the needs, that you would save those ladies that are there. And, Lord, I pray you'd bless them and direct their path, that they would have a new beginning and be able to live for you. I pray for Mark. You continue to heal his body. Thank you that he's doing a little better this week. I pray you continue to give Rhonda strength and give her great faith to trust in you. Thank you that Darlene continues to do well many days. She has her bad days, but Lord, you're sustaining her, and we pray for complete healing if that would glorify you. We pray, Lord, for those that have lost loved ones, that you'd minister to the family and use this very difficult time, Lord, to draw other family members and friends to the Lord Jesus. We pray, Father, for Samantha with cancer and Roy with cancer, Lord, that if it be your will, you would heal them. And if they don't know you as Savior, that they would come to know you through this time of suffering in their lives. Please bless the next hour, Lord. Protect those that are still traveling in. And Lord, may you be glorified. May that lost sinner be drawn to the Savior today. And Lord, may we that are saved be challenged and encouraged, and may our faith grow, and may we be a little bit more like Jesus as a result of being here this morning. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, God bless you. Got about 13 minutes before we start.